You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Happy Skews Day to you. It's May 9th, 2023. I'm Trey Crowder. That's Mark Agee. What's up, Mark?
What's up, Trey? Lots to talk about today, man. Tucker gave up $25 million from Fox to get out of his no-compete clause to do a show that'll stream on Twitter, which videos on Twitter don't play. That's part of the Matt's problem with this show, so that should be fun. George Santos has been charged by the Justice Department for something. It's under seal. He's supposed to might appear in court tomorrow, so maybe we'll know tomorrow. But if you need, it could be campaign finance violations, conflict of interest laws. It could be the stealing of the cash that was meant for an Iraq war veteran's dying dog. It could be the credit card fraud scheme. It could be all of them. Nobody knows. So exciting times.
For could George be a Santos. Whole brand new thing. We ain't even found out about it yet. Who knows with this guy?
I hope it's, that's a fun idea. It could be a new thing. What do you think it could be? Like, I don't know, like he murdered a racehorse or, I don't know.
Defrauded an orphanage or something like that.
he sold an NFT to an orphanage. Clarence Thomas got caught doing more crooked shit. So Leonard Leo is the guy we talked about before. He runs a bunch of conservative organizations that are essentially just exist on paper. That's a different one. We'll get that in a second, Matt. This first story is, so Leonard Leo had Kellyanne Conway through her organization pay Jenny Thomas $25,000, maybe up to $80,000 for something. And then he reimbursed Kellyanne Conway through the Judicial Education Project, one of his many dark money organizations, that has his address, a UPS store in Georgetown. So this is just a pure bagman operation. There's this. So Harlan Crow donates to the Judicial Education Project. Leonard Leo tells Kellyanne Conway to pay Jenny, and then the Judicial Education Project pays back Kellyanne. And then the kicker is, he put on the paperwork, he instructed Kellyanne Conway on the paperwork to not mention Jenny, of course. This is just pure fraudulent. And then the article
seems matters. Like it defeats the purpose a little bit to mention Jenny in, a paper trail by saying, hey, make sure you don't mention Jenny in the subsequent paper trail or whatever. Like,
right. But this was two steps up the paper trail. So maybe thought this paper trail wouldn't get out. We're downstream.
This isn't the main paper trail. Right. Yeah. Right. This is the sub paper trail, which he thought was safe.
Yeah. And a few months after this payment, the Judicial Education Project filed an amicus brief in a case called Shelby County versus Holder, which is what the Supreme Court used to overturn the Voting Rights Act, because, as John Roberts put it, racism is over. Shelby County is 5-4 with Thomas in the majority. So there you go for that. And then there's a more direct line here. So we've talked about the Chevron doctrine before. It's a Supreme Court, sort of framework where they let regulatory agencies make, decisions without interference from the courts, because the regulatory agencies are the experts here, as long as Congress has granted them authority to do so. Thomas authored the majority opinion in this case. He's now flipped. He's against his own opinion because Leonard Leo, and, you know, who's paid by Harlan Crowe, is. So there you go. Clarence Thomas, after getting paid, has decided that Clarence Thomas, before getting paid, was wrong.
Is wrong. Yeah, right.
Right. Ah, so this is fun times, and no one's doing anything.
Yeah, it's like all this stuff had already happened, obviously, but it's like one of those things where it's like the seal got broken or something. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like the first report came out, and now this every, you know, 2 or 3 days, there's a new report of him getting dark money under the table or whatnot, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just, why did people just not know where to look? Or do you know what I mean? Like, it was happening the whole time, and it's not a single instance, as we've now seen, but it took it to, you know, took it being reported in the first place for it to become.
Yeah. Know, I mean, I really think that the Supreme Court was just presumed to be ethical.
Right.
And no one was looking. They were in charge of regulating themselves, and they weren't doing it. And no one was checking up on them. And then this dam broke, and people were like, wait, we should look into their finances. There's supposed to be checks and balances. Congress is theoretically the place that could do something about this, and they just don't want it. Although Dianne Feinstein supposedly is returning to the Senate. She's climbing out of her hospital bed and getting wheeled back. So technically Democrats will be back in the majority. So maybe they can do some more stuff if, you know, her staff can weaken at Bernie's or the vote.
Hey, whoever's like pulling the string that pushes which button or whatever for her, you know, pulls the yes lever when appropriate or whatnot.
Right. Before we get to the show, one last thing. Our fans are always, our viewers are always holding their my feet to the fire on stuff. So this story happened a couple days ago, last week sometime. U.S. rail companies grant paid sick days after public pressure and win for unions. This person is very nice, and a fan was essentially saying he's looking forward to me admitting that I was wrong about Joe Biden and Pete Buttigieg screwing the unions. Although I don't, let me, as a committed pessimist, mm-hmm. I am always super ecstatic to be proven wrong. I am gleefully shocked whenever anything goes right in my personal life or the world. All right.
Right. heard that, brother.
So I am happy that these rail workers got some sick days. But if you look at the details here, remember the order of events. So the railroad companies were going to strike before the election. The Biden administration convinced them to hold off because no one wants Republicans to have Congress. Right? That's good. I don't want Republicans to have Congress either. But the deal was they'd get to fight for what they wanted later. And then later, the Biden administration prevented them from striking when what they wanted was sick days. Sick days, they wouldn't, you know, drive off the rails and do stuff like East Palestine. What they've got now is behind the scenes, Buttigieg and the Biden administration has been lobbying the rail companies to please give them some sick days. So they did. That's good. But what they got was like basically less than half the rail workers, not the train engineers, got less than half of what they'd asked for.
Right. They got like 4 paid sick days a year, right? That's the big victory that they got. And I guess I don't even know how you can have a policy that like you're not allowed to call in sick or whatever. It's like, well, what, you know, what if you get hit by a bus or something? What if you're fucking just super sick? Or if you're on your deathbed? It's like, nope, it's against company policy. But also, you know, 4 days, again, it's better than nothing, but it's, you know, not exactly up to European standards, I would imagine. And yeah, like you said, it only covers like, was it non-operational employees? So the ones that like the actual engineers or the guys that, you know, drive the trains, they still don't have any, because if they called in sick, then the train wouldn't go anywhere that day. Whereas if the other guys, like the guys who do inventory in the cars and stuff, if they call in sick, they can still make the trains run on time, which is the ultimate priority. So still not quite all the way there.
And we're talking like 47% of Union Pacific workers, 46% of Union Southern, and 31% of BNSF. So a lot of workers, not all of them, but like you said, quoting from the vice president of the locomotive engineers and train men, the railroads went to the non-operating crafts first and cut a deal. It's because if a carman to get people to inspect and repair rail cars kept calling sick and don't come to work, the train will still run. But yeah, like you said, if the engineer calls in, that the train can't. But I want to go back to the public pressure part of this. Let me quote Artie Maritia, president of the Transport Communications Union, it was public pressure and political pressure that got them to come to the table. So what I'm saying is, I don't think I was wrong. I think people like me yelling at them, not me, what's our total viewership and podcast downloads? Like 200, 300,000 people. It's not enough to make drop in the bucket, but people making the same point push them to do the right thing. I don't think I was wrong to fucking yell about it. I think a bunch of people yelling was effective. But I'm glad Biden and Buttigieg did some percentage of the right thing here, and to try to keep us all safe from train derailments and help these workers have a higher quality of life. So that's my point I was trying to get to.
Right on. Well, let's get into it. With us, as always, is producer Matt. This is Weekly Skews. I, of course, want to remind you of a couple of things first. Number one, if you'd like to see me live, and you should, go to trackcrowder.com. I'll be back home in Knoxville, Tennessee, and then after that in Asheville, North Carolina with Corey and Drew next weekend, May 20th and 21st. And a lot of other dates coming up throughout the rest of the year. We're still adding plenty of dates for the fall and beyond. So go to trackcrowder.com, get your tickets, come and see me. It's a good time. Secondly, if you enjoy this program and would like to show your support, you can do so by signing up on Patreon. You go to weeklyskews.com/more or go on Patreon and look me up. Either way works. $5 a month gets you access to full-length bonus episodes. We just did a two-part Q&A. We answer all y'all's burning questions, address your comments, things of that nature. We also get to subjects that come up in between the main show or things we don't have time for, things that are just interesting to us. We have a lot of fun with it, so we hope you'll consider signing up on Patreon and supporting the show and getting some more skews in your life. Now, as for tonight's episode, a COVID-era immigration policy known as Title 42 is set to expire in a couple of days, which has many Republicans beating their drums over a looming invasion at the southern border. But what's the reality there? Who's largely to blame for all of this, and how's it all going to shake out? We'll get into all that and the racist philosophy underpinning it all. We'll cover all that a little later. But first, the Daily Dumbass. Matt, graphic, please. Tonight's DD. Those of us who wouldn't pay $5 million to say sexual assault is perhaps fortunate, depending on, you know, how you look at it. Here he is, the man himself.
In this video, I just start kissing them. It's like a magnet. Just kiss. I don't even wait. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything. Grab them by the you can do anything. That's what you said, correct?
Well, historically, that's true with stars.
It's true with stars that they can grab women by the
well, that's what it's. If you look over the last million years, I guess that's been largely true. Not always, but largely true.
Million years?
Yeah.
Unfortunately or fortunately.
Or fortunately.
You consider yourself fortunately. To be a star.
All right, so.
Yeah, the million, yeah. We all know that the Neanderthals were infamously lax when it comes to sexual assault standards and mores.
What was it?
What a Neanderthal? It's such, he's like, it's just, it's the, like, ultimate smartassery when it comes to giving that response. It's just him saying, like, well, since the fucking beginning of time, yes, that has been the case. You know, rich and powerful men have been able to wantonly grab vaginas and whatnot as they see fit. It's one of those things where it's like, you know, not entirely wrong. That's been, you know, like that's been fucking but I know that it's a very unfortunate, you know, reality that over the course of our history, women have gotten the shit into the stick in that way. But then when he qualifies it with, yeah, unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, you know, like who's to say that's a bad thing, really?
It's not really even like a defense because it's like, you're like, well, sir, did you commit murder? Well, I mean, people have been committing murder since the dawn of time. You've really all heard of Cain and Abel, right? It's like, what the fuck are you even talking about? But I wanted to talk about this because Trump, the jury finds Donald Trump, a jury found Donald Trump liable for sexual abuse and defamation in the E. Jean Carroll case. She got $5 million. This case was basically, we talked about before, basically the jury just had to decide who they found more credible. And that video right there is good example of why Trump didn't testify in his own defense, because the man cannot come across as anything other than a huge fucking smug liar who hates everybody but himself.
So he didn't put up any kind of like defense at all. I mean, is that essentially like conceding defeat in a case like this? I know you're not a lawyer either, but I'm saying like, if you don't defend yourself at all, which he didn't, right? Then, I mean, it's should be a foregone conclusion, you would think.
His lawyer tried to rip her apart on cross-examination, plus all the other witnesses. That's Joey Tampico or whatever. But the lawyer came across like a huge asshole. And also, I found Eugene Carroll's testimony pretty compelling. But their defense is basically that she couldn't have been raped because she seems happy, and also she's a huge liar. And also, Trump never met her, even though there are pictures of them together.
And also, Trump would never do that to her because, ooh, gross, because she's not his type anyway, which led directly to this moment on
Some Fox today.
Play the next clip there, Matt.
The former president said about not, you know, he would never have been attracted to her. Watch this.
You say Marla's in this photo?
That's Marla. Yeah, that's my wife.
Which woman are you pointing to?
No,
here.
Carol.
Oh, is that?
The person you just pointed to was Eugene Carroll.
Who is that? Who
first
is this?
Point. Your wife.
And the person, the woman on the right, is your then wife.
I don't
Ivana?
Know. This was the picture. Ivana. I assume that's John Johnson. Is that?
That's Carol.
Because it's very blurry.
You thought so.
Just let it play, Matt. I want to hear this.
Yeah, yeah. I like the end of it because this is on Fox News.
As it might have been interpreted by this jury.
Well, I think the context for this, Martha, is that he said she wasn't his type. So, you know, the last person you would want to confuse her with would be someone you married.
That's a pretty good point there, Andy McCarthy.
Yeah. And then there's a long pause and the anchor goes, so... This whole thing is like, so Politico had a piece this week talking to Republican donors because Wall Street Republicans are basically never Trump at this point because he fucks the economy too much. And also they just find him gross. Everybody finds him gross. So they were talking about DeSantis's flame out, where they put their money next. And they don't really have any ideas. But this quote from one of their big donors, talking anonymously, really puts the framework of the ghoul thinking here. What we probably wind up with is a choice between a guy who is very old and wants to raise our taxes and re-regulate everything, and a guy who could be running from prison. That's a tough choice to them.
Right.
An old guy who might raise my taxes a little bit versus a criminal.
I don't understand why they even threw old in there. You know what I mean? Like, Trump's, how much younger is Trump than Biden? Like,
4 years?
4 years? Something like that? Yeah. Like, not that much. So, old is not a qualifier in this particular matchup. But yes, right. You said it's like, we're either going to have to choose someone who might tax us a little more. This is a rich person, obviously. And, you know, institute some more regulations, or somebody who's a straight up felon, you know, and could end up in prison. It's a tough call, man. I mean, really, I don't think it is a tough call for them. I wouldn't think. Like, you go with the felon every time, you know, if you're trying to protect your regulationless empire.
Yeah, it's an easy call for them. It would, but I don't say about Jean Carroll, like, it was pretty gross to me, though. The lawyers basically, because she went on to have a good, productive life. Even though she testified that she basically hasn't had sex since Trump raped her, because it doesn't, like, I should say allegedly raped her, because the jury found him liable for sexually abusing her, but denied her rape claim, but then gave her $5 million for found him liable for defamation for calling her a liar when he was accused of rape. So the jury did the split the baby bathwater thing, but gave her more money than she was asking for. So I can't really, it makes sense of their decision. Juries, man, who knows? But the idea that, like, they were saying that because she recovered and went on to be happy, that that's proof she was never, it was all very, very gross. It's like most women you run into in your daily life have been abused or assaulted in some fashion. And they're all out there being happy, living life. So fuck that guy.
Well, it's also kind of like, the subtext of it, sort of, if you couple that with the infamous clip about, you know, you grab them, you can do whatever you want, and it's fine. They'll let you because you know, if you're a star, then it's fine. It's like implying that, you know, if you're a star, you can just actively ruin women's lives forever. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, if they also believe there's no coming back from that sort of thing, you know what I mean? If it just, you know, puts you in the dirt for the rest of your life, then, you know, it makes it even more gross stance to take. Not that, you know, it was already obviously very gross to begin with.
Right.
But you know what I mean?
Right. But you're saying that he understands the implications of his actions.
Right. And still, he still says like, it's still bragging about how it's, that he can do it anyway with it.
Yep.
All right. Our first honorable mention for Daily Dumbass is whoever fed Trump after midnight and got him wet. This is somebody who I was just introduced to, a Republican candidate for president in 2024. Vivek Ramaswamy. Yeah.
Okay. There you go.
One of the people who actually stood up at that same event was somebody who walked in with the Trump shirt, broke down in tears as he asked the question, thinking about the country and what we were doing for his children, said he was switching over to vote for me. I'm absolutely running for the presidency. We're running for the win to take this all the way. One of the people who actually stood up
you
at
talk
that
about,
same event.
He stole the anonymous person, came up to me crying and told me he loved me thing from Trump. Like, the game's over now.
You talk about like a, and then everybody clapped moment. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's just the classic, like, that never happened. That clearly never happened. A Trump shirt wearing papaw broke down in tears and thanked him for, you know, saving America. Somehow I doubt that. So, who is this guy, Mark?
So he's running for Trump and he's polling at like 5% in a lot of polls. So he's like gaining on DeSantis. I think this guy might be where all the money goes. Because he's smooth talking, he's charming, he's charismatic, he can self-finance his campaign. He's vowed to spend almost $100 million of his own money because he's a rich, like, finance dude. He's also, like, his argument is that he's just as hardcore as Trump, but more competent. And that's his whole case for being elected, is he's a more effective fascist. He says he believes he can the powers of the presidency allow him to abolish the education department on day one. He would unleash the military to stamp out the scourge of fentanyl coming across the southern border and not unbothered by the posse comitatus clause, which prohibits use of military for civil law enforcement. He wants to eradicate teachers' unions, even though the federal government doesn't really have any role in that. This guy fucking sucks.
You said he's like a finance guy. Did I read this right? The like investment firm he founded was aimed at helping investors make non-woke investments or something like that, helping them make investments that were outside of, you know, the wokeism currently plaguing corporate America, or like something to that effect.
There's been a lot of rise in like ESG, is, you know, environmental, social, and governance investing, which is basically trying to funnel money towards less evil stuff. So he explicitly founded a fund to fund the evil stuff.
Yeah, but no, that's more just evil stuff.
Default investing.
Yeah,
that's been the norm throughout capitalism. Right. That's what ESG is a response to.
Yes, right. ESG, the evil stuff was just the standard for forever. Right. You're investing, corporations. It's going to be a little bit of evil stuff, you know. So it's kind of just taking it back to basics, I guess. But hey, he made hundreds of millions of dollars, evidently doing that. It's always so.
I think his net worth
so
is
wild to me.
$600 million. So he can afford to spend $100 and won't affect his quality.
And it's like, you read that with how this guy make all his money. And it's like, well, he, you know, helped make non-woke investments or whatever. It's like, okay. It's like in Silicon Valley. It's like, I put fucking radio on the internet. Okay. Like the way that some people make nearly $1 billion will never not be wild as hell to me.
Right. All right. You want to get into it?
Yeah. Let's get into it.
All right, so there's a whole big, stupid immigration panic that's back, and it's been going on for a while, and it might, if you're a sane person who doesn't consume rabid right-wing news, you might not be aware of it, but I wanted to start off talking about the Allen mass shooting, in Allen, Texas from over the weekend, because there was an extremely stupid argument about it. So the shooter was a 33-year-old guy from Dallas named Mauricio Garcia, and the dumb arguments have broken out about whether a Latino can be a white supremacist. It's a very Caucasian conversation to me, because it's like, well, a brown person can't be a Nazi. And you're like, well, why? And it's like, well, because Nazis hate brown people. And you go, okay. So you're essentially saying a brown person can't be a Nazi because they all look alike to you. And that's really bizarre to me.
Also, just, I know, do you know, like, was he, Hispanic or Latino or what? Like, was he, you know how like Louis C.K. is Mexican?
Right.
Like, you know, they have white people, you know, Spanish, a lot of Spanish people are white. Was he like a white Hispanic person, or like, you know, was he actually a person of color? I'm with you either way. I'm just wondering, like, exactly how.
I don't know how to even to hold up like a paint chart.
I just didn't know if that, like, you know, if that was part of what people had figured out or whatever.
The bigger point I'm trying to make is, like, you don't get to these are all made up categories anyway. Like, we've talked about, right. Irish people weren't considered whites like less than 100 years ago. Like, you don't get to decide whether this guy identifies as a white supremacist. Like, it's totally up to what's going on in his head about what groups he wants to hate and why.
Yeah.
But all this stuff presumes, like, Latinos can't be racist against other Latinos, which is a wild claim, because, like, light-skinned Mexicans are dark racist against dark-skinned Mexicans. A lot of Brazilians are racist against indigenous Brazilians and Afro-Brazilians.
Most races have people who are racist against other members of that same race for whatever stupid-ass reasons. Like you say, with white people and Irish and Italian and whatever else. And, colorism, you know, light-skinned, dark-skinned, all that sort of thing. I know there's a lot of intra-Asian racism. It's like, racism's a distinctly human thing across all the color barriers.
You try to parse the logic of it, you're buying into it to me, because the whole racism is fucking stupid. Mm-hmm. It does, like, there's no, you can't get to the bottom of making it make sense. But, like, Marjorie Taylor Greene tried. She, like, dissected crime scene photos that showed he had, like, a tattoo on his hand. She tried to say it was a Hispanic gang tattoo, which is, like, show some respect, Marge. This guy died for your cause. And
what about the rest of his tattoo?
Right. We'll get to that in a second. But you don't have to take my word for it that he's not a white supremacist. You can take his word for it. Here's a meme he posted on a Russian social network he was in. It shows a forked road and Latino children choosing which one to go down. One of them is act black and the other one's become white supremacist. Right. So he's telling you he's a white supremacist.
Because at the bottom, the caption of the meme, he literally says, I can't read it there, but it's something like, I'll take my chances as a white supremacist or something like that. Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like he explicitly states which fork in the road he's taking. Also, it's funny because I feel like if you look at that meme, isn't the act black side, it's like
happier
in a halo. Yeah, right. It's like a castle with an angelic halo around it. And the white side is like a hellscape or whatever. Yeah. and then he's like, I know which one I'm taking. The one on the right.
Which would you rather be in, Cypress Hill or the Proud Boys? I know I'm going Cypress Hill. But also, like, the media, because again, they have this very Caucasian thought process where a brown person can't be racist again or think of themselves as white. They kept saying stuff like his personal politics were very hard to figure out because it didn't make sense to them. Here's a picture of him with his shirt off. You want to see it for yourself. Yeah, that's an SS tattoo on his arm and a swastika on his chest.
Yeah, seems pretty difficult to parse there, Mark. I wonder where this guy stands. But I know I saw one of these right-wing lunatics on Twitter when these photos came out. They'd called him, you know, like you said, Latino gang member, whatever it was. Then these photos came out, and she said something like, I'm willing to admit when I was wrong. So he had SS and swastika tattoos, so clearly it wasn't what I had said. I now think it's far more likely that he's a Ukrainian asset or something like that. She pivoted straight to some other lunacy, like, at the end, like out of nowhere. So,
yeah,
you can't do nothing with him.
I mean, I was talking to a buddy. You know what Andy Ngo is, Trey? He's
NGO.
Yeah, he's it's a Vietnamese surname. He happens to be Canadian, but he's like an alt-right, like, blogger / air quote investigative reporter. He's a good person that kind of, he writes a lot about Antifa and how dangerous they are and shit. He's basically a
Did he get, like, whipped or something like that at some point, or attacked?
He got, somebody threw a milkshake at him once and it hit him in the head. And he tried to say it was an attempt on his life because the milkshake had concrete in it. Yeah. All right. So that's why I brought this up, because I was talking to a buddy of mine about it once. He was just talking about, like, political polarization in general. He was talking about how Antifa was dangerous because they hit him in the head with this milkshake. And I was like, yeah, you shouldn't throw concrete frozen milkshakes at people's heads. But also, he's a fucking fascist. I can't get too deep in my tears about it. And he goes, how can an Asian be fascist? And I was like, have you heard of the Empire of Japan? Yeah, like, Japan. What the fuck are you talking about? Like, that's the only time it's a very white approach to, like, racism. If if Asians can't be racist, then what the fuck was Japan doing committing genocides in China and Korea?
Yeah.
Like, where do people get their understanding of shit? But by the way, not for nothing, but the FBI just a couple days ago arrested another January Sixer after her ex-boyfriend or ex-hookup recognized her in a viral joke meme wearing a pink beret at January 6th. she happens to be Latina, and the guy dumped her because she talked about reading Mein Kampf and was posting about Hitler quotes in her Discord.
Yeah, so, it's a bit of a red flag, you know, in a relationship. I could see where he's coming from with that. I would find that off-putting, too.
All right, so the reason I wanted to talk about the Allen shooting in regards to immigration is because, like, we don't know this guy's motive. He did post a manifesto on that same Russian social media site where they got that meme and that picture from. Another way we know he's a Nazi is he wore his vest had right wing death squad, an acronym for right wing death squad written on it. But we're never going to, like, his manifesto apparently was mostly about incel shit, like hating women and misogynistic stuff.
That checks out.
We're never going to fully know his motive because, like most stupid racist lunatics, his thoughts aren't that well organized.
Right.
But I can tell you that the eight people he killed, three were Korean Americans, three were Latinos, one was a woman from India, and the one white guy who got killed was a security guard who got in the way. And by the way, I noticed the security guard's name and had the same last name as a friend of mine from Dallas, and I texted him to see if they were related, and it was his cousin.
Damn, really?
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect to your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
We're all going to be connected to this shit eventually. Three of the eight were children, by the way. So yeah, seven of the eight people would have read as foreign to this racist piece of shit.
Right.
We had a new third thing to thoughts and prayers. Now to the mass shooting discourse. Here's a Congressman Ronnie Drughead or whatever his name is on fucking Fox News talking about this shooting. He's Ronnie Jackson. Sorry,
Ronnie Drughead. Yeah, this is their new advice for living in America in 2023.
And just like Daniel Mathis once said, you know, be polite, be professional, but have a plan to kill everyone you meet because you never know. You know, if you're at your workplace, your business workplace, something you might say could possibly cause someone to snap because they've had a very bad day. You don't know what kind of day someone's had.
Right.
And your words can make...
Have a plan to kill everyone you meet. Ain't that America?
That was a quote
from Mad Dog Mattis.
About dealing with foreign adversaries, not your neighbors. The thing is, this is stupid to have to say this out loud, but it's sort of, my wife has occasional road rage issues. And it fucking bugs me and also makes me worried because every time she does something stupid in the car or honks her horn at a person who's not necessary, I'm like, this is America. They might have a gun.
Mm-hmm.
Just fucking don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And she tries to listen. She tries to take my advice. But she's a hothead. It's one reason I love her. But it's just like, I hate it's like thoughts and prayers and helter skelter. That's where we're at now. Did you see the FBI fucking put out a mass shooting advice video?
No.
It's like the airplane safety video, except it shows people in a mass shooting giving you advice for all their different strategies for how to live through it. And then it goes, I thought it was a sketch at first. Then it was like, go to FBI.gov for more information. I'm like, holy shit. It's like, the government's just announcing, well, you're on your own. So here's how you do a tourniquet.
In Texas, they're wanting to give battlefield tourniquets in the budget for middle school or for schools or something like that.
Yeah. They're giving, they want to give third graders like a massive
medic training.
Yeah.
that's so fucked up.
The false flag shit, because people can't process that a Nazi could be darker skinned than them. So the right wing in over 24 hours went from there's no evidence a Texas shooter was a neo-Nazi. Okay, a neo-Nazi patches on his tactical vest, but that was ironic. Okay, it might have been a neo-Nazi, but it was a government mind control that made him that way. Which brings me to this fucking, like, look at this Twitter exchange between Elon Musk, the guy who's going to business with Tucker Carlson, and So they're saying, here's Ian Miles Strong, who's a really fucking crazy right-wing influencer who's never been to America, but always has talked about American politics. He's saying that because it's so obvious that he's a Nazi, it must be a government setup that they dummied up all his fucking online profiles. This person called the redheaded libertarian says it's a psyop and it's not even close. And Elon Musk says this gets weirder by the moment. What is a simpler conclusion, Trey? That a deeply racist society with guns everywhere has a crazy person go crazy every now and then and shoot people, or there's a highly orchestrated government plot to take away our guns when there's no effort to take away our guns.
I know. I mean, it's like, yeah, if it walks like a duck and talks like a duck, it's probably a fucking Nazi lunatic, right? And so, you know, whatever happened to Occam's razor. It's so wild to look at all of that you just laid out. And then genuinely be like, well, this is clearly a government side. Like, it's so crazy, man.
And like the shooter didn't mention great replacement theory or anything, but you don't have to. These guys are swimming in it so deeply. It's like me announcing that everyone should take a breath every couple seconds. It's like, it's so obvious to them that we're going to get great replacement theory in a little bit, but. And how the new ways is manifesting itself. But there was another mass death attack in Texas, also against immigrants. I mean, there's only one person in the other shooting that I know is immigrant. I'm talking about how they would have presented to this fucking racist. So a guy drove a car into a bus stop in Brownsville along the border, killing a bunch of Venezuelan immigrants who were staying at a shelter that was nearby the bus stop. He supposedly yelled racist shit toward them. And this guy was Latino too, by the way. But again, I'm assuming just profiling a Hispanic person living in Texas is going to be Mexican, and these were Venezuelans. I don't know if there's racial animosity those two groups, but there can be racial animosity between any groups is the point we're talking about tonight. The people at the shelter said they had not received any hate before the car attack, but since then it caused people to come to the gate and start yelling that the reason it happened was because the migrants were there. So these people are staying in a shelter after walking from Venezuela. A guy hits them with their car. And then people in the community's response is, well, they shouldn't have been here. It's fucking diseased.
Yeah.
Brownsville is seeing a surge in migrants. And that's basically the crux of what we're going to be talking about for the rest of the show. There's also a big anticipated influx of migrants due to the upcoming expiration of a COVID era policy that allowed the U.S. to automatically expel undocumented immigrants. And that's called Title 42.
Yeah. So basically, it was the idea that, like, at the time, it was about helping to stop the spread of COVID. So, like, because we're in the middle of a pandemic, we can just, like, carte blanche send you back, like, even if you're seeking asylum, because it's part of, like, not the Geneva Accords, but there's, like, an international agreement that's sort of like that, that says, like, people have the right to seek asylum if they're in a, you know, life-threatening situation or, you know, political prisoner persecution or any of that type of stuff. And the U.S. is a signatory to that. But this was, like, you know, a loophole or a way around that because of COVID. Now that's set to expire. Mm-hmm. So they're saying that everybody's just going to rush in.
Yeah. So that's what they're saying. But let's say, like, the Title 42 exists under, like, our immigration laws are so racist, they have hygiene codes because the presumption is that immigrants are dirty and disease ridden.
Right.
But using COVID, this is the only part of COVID that Trump believed in, was that it should be used to keep immigrants out. But there's a deep fucking irony here is that America had one of the worst COVID outbreaks in the world. They were probably safer from COVID if they'd stayed in Guatemala and Venezuela. Mm-hmm. So like they're not bringing the COVID in. They're more likely to get COVID if you let them in. It's the whole thing is such a twisted, sick joke. So yeah, it's about to expire because the government has announced that they can't keep doing one part of COVID rules, but not the rest of them. If you call off the COVID emergency, then this goes away too. Right.
Right.
So, Biden sort of, I don't want to say exacerbated his border problems. He probably exacerbated his political problems by ending the COVID in this one way, by ending the COVID emergency, because the way people are going to react to all this shit. So it expires on May 11th. In case you're wondering, Title 42 has been used on an estimated, I've seen a couple different numbers, 2.5 million immigrants or 3 million who just like would get to the border, then immediately be shipped back where they came from without a hearing, without putting any paperwork. Again, a reminder, the legal process to apply for asylum is you walk up to the border and say you want to apply for asylum. That's what they were doing. They were doing it legally. I just want to always reiterate that this is perfectly legal. They weren't sneaking across. They were trying to go through the orderly, legally ordained process. GOP has offered up a border package that's even too racist for a lot of Republicans. It also includes some harebrained shit, like the border bill would impeach Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. It just basically wants to ship everybody out of the country, probably me and you too. So Texas, man, Texas Republican leadership is fucking wilding out. They had a big rally recently to call for more border protections. They're trying to pass a bill called HB 20. I forgot to check for the show if they've actually passed a version of it yet. It was called the How Many More Rally, in case you're wondering if it was racist even in the title. So Chip Roy spoke there, Republican congressman, Trump's former acting border protection agency commissioners, sheriff, and this guy called Mark Meckler, who's the president of an organization that wants to call a new constitutional convention. I'm betting that wouldn't go well. But he said at the rally, "We're saying there is an invasion, appropriately declaring an invasion, and we expect the governor and the legislature to put the forces in plan to repel that invasion." Invasion three times in one sentence.
Right.
So he's comparing like what Russia's doing to Ukraine with what some migrants are doing walking up to the border.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't seem fear-mongery at all.
If there was an invasion, wouldn't like that guy be entitled, if not obligated, to hit those people with his car? That's essentially what they're doing here, is they're giving rhetorical permission for way more of these stochastic terrorist attacks, you know, creating a permission structure for it. They also call for the bill calls for the creation of a Texas Border Protection Unit, which is like a special forces Texas Rangers to just like shoot immigrants.
Right. So it's like, super border patrol. Like they already have the border patrol. So it's like a new, more hardcore border patrol. Cause I understand the border patrol can be pretty hardcore as it is. So
the Texas Rangers were explicitly founded as like a killer force to track down and kill Mexicans. So like, this is just past times a flat circle. All this is happening at the same time that Fox News and other right-wing media are doing everything they can to promote border militias. Like, you might remember the Minutemen from, like, the 90s and 2000s, where there are lots more of these people now. These are, like, the Texas one would at least be state-funded and regulated as far as that goes, you know, because cops are basically set loose in this country. These people are just straight-up militias. But they all do work with local law enforcement, and they're labeled as hate groups by the Southern Poverty Law Center, and they're going on conservative media and being treated like, you know, rock stars. They're famous in those groups. And all they do is like hunt migrants, like the Punisher. I fucking hate this, dog. But anyway, so they're part of the Title 42 panic is they're saying once Title 42 is lifted and we can't just ship everybody applying for asylum out, that it's going to be a rush to the border because migrants will know the border's open. Now, I don't know what kind of news, say, a poor person in Guatemala or Honduras or Venezuela or Haiti gets, or how much they're familiar with American politics or the regulations of our border, right? But the main place they would get this fucking message is from Republicans.
Right. They're the ones always talking about how the border is open and we're just letting everybody in and all that. So but the Biden administration is basically, along with Title 42, they've pretty much just upheld the Trump administration's immigration policies, right? Pretty much. Like
a lot of them.
Nothing really changed all that much, but you know, the way they talk about it, it's a huge crisis because the border is completely open and we're just letting everybody in. And then people south of the border and these other Central American countries, they hear, oh, did you hear? With Biden in charge, the border's open. Free reign. Let's go. Mm-hmm. And so it's like a feedback loop or a vicious cycle. Right. But also they, I mean, dude, they know that, like, they benefit from it directly. You know what I mean? It's one of the, it's a boogeyman. It's a fear campaign. It gins up their base. It gives them something to bitch about. And it, like, it behooves them politically to encourage these people to give it a shot while also talking about how, you know, we need the army to shoot them all or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. There's something like, I'm trying to think of an analogy of work. I'm not trying to compare, like, I can't even do an analogy here because they're creating a problem and then offering the solution for it.
Right.
And every analogy that's going to come with my head would compare immigrants to something bad. So I don't want to do that.
But that's what, I mean, that you just said, they're creating a problem and then offering a solution to the problem they create. Like, that's like, that's their whole thing. They do that all the time. Like, they, you know, create a problem with trans people or critical race theory or any of that shit, you know?
Usually they're creating an imaginary.
It's like, right.
Usually yes. They're creating an imaginary problem here. But here, if they're having any, if they're doing anything with a number of migrants approaching the border, they're increasing it by right. using a megaphone to lie and say the border's open. Now, about the border being open, like, I'm not some, like, I'm pretty left wing about a lot of shit, but I'm not some, like, eliminate borders sort of fanatic. Cause like my first job when I was in college, it was a front desk attendant. Your job there is, if you don't live in the dorm, is to make people sign in and out. Basically any organization, building, group, chunk of land is going to want to be aware of who's in it. Right. Mm-hmm. I just don't think we need to be so fucking mean about it. Especially right. because, like, we've talked about the labor supply stuff before. Like, we have jobs for people. Like, I don't know. It's so fucking.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too. Like, it, you know, a lot of these people are so hardcore anti-immigration, you know, a lot of the business people, anyway, employ illegal immigrants all the time and would hate to have to give that up because they don't pay them shit. You know what I mean? It's like, mm-hmm. I've brought this up before, but I remember this was years ago now, but Alabama enacted some new really harsh anti-immigrant policy, which drove a lot of immigrants out of Alabama. And then that year they had record losses in their agricultural sector. A lot of their crops died and shit like that because they couldn't find anybody to work those jobs. Mm-hmm. And so, and you know, all these guys, fucking Trump has had countless illegal immigrants on his construction projects and they all do that. Like, it's all horseshit.
Yeah. DeSantis just signed, I mean, the Florida House just passed a bill that would require, like, E-Verify for all, like, employees to try to crush undocumented laborers in Florida. And today people were posting videos of the construction sites that are dead because no one's working because they don't right. have workers. Right. So it's like, this is, racism is a poison pill for everybody who's well. It's just like, you hurt yourself as much as you hurt anybody else, which brings us to the great replacement theory stuff, which we've talked about Tucker talking about a lot before. But like the great replacement theory, we don't know for sure there was a motivation for the Allen shooting or part of the motivation, but Pittsburgh, El Paso, Buffalo. The violence in Charlottesville, those killers all cited great replacement theory. Remember, that's the theory that Joe Biden and the Democrats are intentionally letting in immigrants to vote Democrat to turn the country less white.
Brown. Yeah.
Yeah. But just sort of a little perspective here, only 12% of the global population is white, something like that. Something like Matt, the exact number Matt threw out, low 60s% of America's white. So America's an extremely white country relative to the rest of the world. There's no reason to fucking panic about being erased. It's just like, right. Don't worry about it. Go to work. And again, we're talking about fucking. We're talking about mm-hmm. fucking. Nobody's being genocided. Your kids are just intermarrying with other ethnic groups, and people are gradually turning the same color. Sounds like utopia to me, but what do I know? So who benefits from all these fucking lies? First of all, the cartels and human smugglers. Because
right.
they can go to people, desperate people, and tell them, hey, Republicans said the border's open.
Right.
Do you want to ride to America?
Yeah.
And they get here and they end up in a migrant camp. And Republicans are also benefiting this. This is a poll from 13 months ago, so it's probably worse now. But a majority of Americans see an invasion at the southern border, NPR poll finds. It's 53% of Americans from 13 months ago thought that's either completely or somewhat true that America's under invasion. at the southern border. Americans are so soft, dog. Like, you would hear bombs going off.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, what do they think an invasion actually is? You know what I mean? Like, it's just so baldly hyperbolic to call that an invasion. It's like you said. It's like what Russia did in the Ukraine. That's an invasion. You know, they invaded.
Also, what do people think a border is? Like, there's never been a hard border in the history of the world. Like, they tried with their Berlin Wall. They hid machine guns and landmines and shit, and people still got over it, under it, and around it. So, like, what people are going to get across the border. You just got to learn to live with it and try to fix the system. So we can all learn how to live with a certain amount of chaos, because chaos comes from freedom and nothing's perfect. We just think nobody should go across the border. It's like, yes, people and drugs come north and people and guns go south. It's like there's illicit trade on every border. It's just such baby brains.
Right. But I read this earlier when it comes to the drugs, right? Because that's a huge part of the narrative right now, right? They're bringing the drugs up here, and that's why people are dying from fentanyl overdoses or whatever. But like the drugs largely come in through like
legal
ports and shit. Yeah. Like ports of, like, you know, they smuggle them on like container ships or planes and shit. You guys have seen Narcos. They don't like, they're not. It's not the people coming in on the bus loads, you know, with the smugglers driving them across the border. They have more efficient operations than that. So it's not even where they're coming from anyway.
If they were rich drug smugglers, they'd be able to buy their way into America. Like, right. They did. What they do is it's Americans being paid. There was a literal Nazi who got arrested smuggling fentanyl into America. That's what they do. You pay an American who's going to get less scrutiny. And my opinion is that fentanyl can't be smelled by drug dogs. It's pretty easy to smuggle in. And like, so you just put it in a spare tire, drive it across the border, and you're pretty much going to be like, I'm not saying that fentanyl's good.
Right.
Saying that, like, Greg Abbott did that stupid stunt again where he tried to inspect the Texas Department of Public Safety, the Highway Patrol, inspect every vehicle come across the border and cause like 48 hour delays and didn't find anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, theater pursuit of nothing. Whenever these assholes promise you perfection, they're going to stop all the fentanyl overdoses. Just get really suspicious about what they're really up to, because no one could promise you. If you give me $100, you can have eternal life. Ask some follow-up questions, right?
Yeah. And also the way that they talk, you know, that people think that they're like, that they're criminals or whatever, but like every single study that's ever been done on it shows that like they're less likely, the immigrants from Central and South America are less likely to commit crimes generally than just your fellow Americans are, you know? So yeah. It's like, they're not bringing the drugs up here and they're not coming up here and committing crimes and shit. It's like, these motherfuckers are coming up here and picking all our goddamn berries for us and shit. You know what I mean? Like, doing all the drywall or whatever, but it's like, you know, they're not. Most of the narrative surrounding like the evils of the current state of our immigration situation is just all bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, the lady pushing the Florida law is a huge anti-immigrant activist. She's in the Florida House, I think, and her origin story is that her son was killed by an undocumented person who ran a red light, hit his car. And I'm like, I feel really sad that your son died, but I don't think that person's immigration status had anything to do with it. But also, one of the things the Florida bill does is remove the ability for undocumented people to get driver's licenses. So you're going to have, you're not going to not be on the roads. You're just removing them being certified that they can actually drive a car. Mm-hmm. So like, you're exacerbating the problem you're claiming to try to fix. It's just pure hate, and you're going to create more car accidents. So like, it's very, very stupid. So yeah, the people that are helped by this is Republican messaging and, you know, by immigration policies, Republican messaging and the cartels. Who's hurt by it is, of course, migrants. I wanted to talk about this this happened like 6 weeks ago. 38 migrants were killed in a fire at a detention center in Mexico. One of the things Mexico is doing, they also have a pretty firm immigration, hardcore immigration policy, because we asked them to and put a lot of pressure on them. So a lot of people try to get into America. That was called the Remain in Mexico policy. So while they wait to see if they get asylum, they're locked up in Mexico and not under great conditions. So in protest of, depending on who you believe, in protest of the conditions, some of the migrants set mattresses on fire, ended up burning the building down and killing 38 of them. If you believe Mexico's president, He said they were mad they were going to be deported to their home countries, but the migrants said it was because they had 68 men in an area meant for 58 people with no access to drinking water. Among those migrants were 28 Guatemalans, 13 Hondurans, 12 Salvadorans, 12 Venezuelans, and one from Colombia and Ecuador. And I wanted to say, like, the variety of people coming across the border are more diverse than you think. Like, there are a lot of Chinese immigrants coming across the southern border because what they do is they take a boat or a plane to Mexico and then trying to come across because it's cheaper than a plane ticket into America and trying to get to U.S. customs. But, like, so when people say that, well, how can a brown person be racist against people coming across the southern border? Well, maybe it's because they hate Haitians, because Haitians are black and speak French, you know, like, or maybe they hate Chinese people. You don't have to, like, look too deeply into their thought process. But I want to talk about the Guatemalans because I found a story talking to their families. They were basically tricked by coyotes who told them that the border was open. And they borrowed $15,000 and $19,000 each for a trip to the border. And then they were expected to deport back to Guatemala. But then they died in the fire. But I want to point out these are mostly indigenous Guatemalans. Again, going back to racism within these societies. A lot of indigenous Guatemalans have been pushed off their land by mining conglomerates. The main bad guy right now that they're suing in international court is a Swiss mining conglomerate. But I'm willing to bet most of my life savings at the beginning of this was probably the U.S. State Department cutting a deal with the military dictatorship in the 50s and 60s. So, like, my larger point is, like, a lot of the reasons people are coming to the border are our fucking fault.
Right.
So, like,
yeah, we destabilize their governments or whatever and, you know, fuck people out of their land or at least, you know, are, you know, in league with the people who do so, the Swiss corporations or whatever. You know, we're making money off of it, too. Leaves people with fewer options, which leads to desperation, which leads to them, you know, showing up at the border.
So real quick, what Biden's trying to replace Title 42 with is basically a soft, confusing asylum ban in almost entirety. I'm not actually going to blame Biden for this. Okay, he's not going to sign the shithead Republican bill, so that's good. But this system is like his new chief of staff is a guy named Jeff Zients, and he fucking sucks, bro. He's been in the job 2 months, and Biden's whole presidency has gone to shit in the last 2 months. But what the asylum ban is, it basically, under the proposed rules, someone would be ineligible for asylum unless they'd already presented themselves at a port of entry and pre-scheduled their presentation via a DHS mobile app called CBB1. So these migrants have to download an app and use it to set an appointment and arrive at the correct time at the border entry station. Another way they would be ineligible is they have to prove that they have sought and been denied asylum in another country through which they traveled on the way to the United States. So if you want to immigrate to the United States, you got to apply for asylum in Mexico and hope they deny you. All right. But the fucking app doesn't even work, dog. Mm-hmm. Like it's like it's buggy. It's hard to log in. It's impossible to use. And by the way, these are migrants. So like before you walk from Venezuela to America, remember to pack your smartphone, your charger, and make sure you have money to rent a hotel room so you can charge it.
That's what I was thinking. It's wild to have this all centered around an app. I know it's like, you know, that's the world we live in today. 2023, everything's got to have an app. But it's, I mean, literally everything has an app. If even asylum seeking for, you know, refugees comes down to a governmental app that don't work worth a fuck in the first place.
A buggy app that won't work being your only avenue to apply for asylum in the United States and be written in a language you don't speak or whatever. It's the perfect neoliberal technocratic solution to deny people access to stuff, which is why I want to blame it on Jeff Zients. So if you don't know who he is, he's a political centrist who ran. He made his money running predatory health insurance companies. Nice. The main arguments for why he'd do a good job is he's super competent because of his managerial expertise. But he was Biden's COVID czar and fucked up a lot. Like he tried to privatize everything because, of course, he did, so his friends could make money off of it. And that's why a lot of the late term COVID stuff didn't go well. So politically, what's happened is basically they're going into campaign mode with Zients. So he's pivoted right in a bunch of stuff, including immigration and trans stuff. While trying to do the FDR, like middle class pitch on economics, creating jobs, preserving Medicare, Social Security, yada, yada, yada. But like you try to split that lane, you're going to end up pissing off everybody because you piss off fucking progressives and Fox News, like hardcore anti-immigration people are never going to vote for you. So there's no point and just being mean for the sake of mean. Like, I don't have a solution to the border. I realize there's probably some amount of people we can't let in because it's unsustainable to be processed and stuff. But I'm not in charge. I don't have to have a plan. There's a whole federal government to come up with a plan. And this isn't the plan.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I don't understand this. However you say it, the new chief of staff. Like, I just don't, because everybody's pissed at him. Or like the Democrats, I mean, are pissed at him. The right. Democrats in Congress, everything, because he shut down the lines of communication. He's like made the Biden administration impossible to get in touch with or to work with. And I just don't understand how. I understand how a guy like that gets that job, I guess. I mean, you know, you run predatory health insurance schemes for 20 years. You're going to get to some pretty high places in this country. But, like, I don't know. It just seems so clearly to not be working or to, you know.
His approval rating is like third.
For anybody.
His approval rating is like 8 points less than Trump's when he left office.
Like
it's not working.
No, right. How do you leave that guy in that job? Like, no one is saying this guy's crushing it. I don't know.
I mean, I don't think it's theoretically even possible for him to lose to Trump, especially after like the E. Jean Carroll case is going to make for really fucking hard hitting, like attack ads. You have the headline clip of the deposition of him saying it's good to grab women. And then do you want this guy having say over women's bodies? And with a headlines about the Dobbs decision and people, women dying. It's like, I don't know how Trump overcomes that, but also like, why are you tempting fate by doing bad stuff?
Was there a Washington Post or some poll recently that showed Trump leading Biden or something? I know it's like super early, but I thought I saw something.
Last one I saw, Trump, Biden beating Trump, but losing to DeSantis. So, but still okay. Super early. He can turn it around. But I mean, what happens with the economy is going to be the biggest prevailing factor. No one knows the economy is going to be like in, you know, 15 months or whatever. So,
yeah. We get this goddamn inflation under control. All right. Well, listen, I want to remind y'all again before we go, like I said earlier, go to treycrowder.com. Check out my upcoming tour dates. Come and see me. It's a good time. I'll be with Corey and Drew in Knoxville and Asheville next weekend, May 20th to 21st. And then the rest of my dates for most of the rest of the year are solo shows. So come out and see me. Also, you can go to weeklyskews.com/more. To support this show with your patronage, and in doing so, get some bonus content for yourselves there, which we surely would appreciate. It's fun. Also, for the record, on my Patreon, I've got other tiers where I offer other things in addition, and you can get it all together for $10 a month. You can do whatever you want to. Just go on there and check it out. But the important thing is keep coming back every Skews Day. And if you do, then we will too. So keep breaking it down for you, skewing it up, and we'll see you in 7 days. All right. So you love you. Bye.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right here,
right now. It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.